So maybe a first question would be, give us a state of just your tribes.
Madison has just been designated in December, Truax Field, as the home of F-35A.
Doctor, can you start? Give us an overview.
Wisconsinites interviewing those on the front lines of the fight of the against COVID-19, and Missy Hughes, the CEO of the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, is in the middle of that in terms of how to reopen the process, the phasing in of reopening Wisconsin's economy. So, Missy, thanks so much for joining Wisconsin Eye.
Hi, Steve. Thanks for having me.
You know, I have a question about what you were doing a year ago. You were Chief Mission Officer and Chief Counsel for Organic Valley. What were you worrying about a year ago? Because then we'll go into what you're worrying about now. 1 year ago, spring of 2019, what?
There was a lot going on at Organic Valley a year ago. We had just transitioned our 30-year CEO, and we had a new CEO. We were learning a new team. We had a new executive team. So there was a fair amount going on at OV, but yeah, it doesn't compare to what's happening now.
No. When I look at the CARES package and then the package that was passed by the Assembly and Senate, signed by the governor, we're going to put up a graphic because it says that it is the mission of WEDC to, by June 30th, come up with a plan to support, and I want to come back to that word support, seven key industries, and let's list them. Ag, construction, retail, manufacturing, tourism, ag, forest products, and services. Missy, what does support mean? It doesn't mean bail out or give a lifeline. What's your definition of support in this context, please?
Well, what I think about is, you know, first and foremost, looking at the impact that those industries have sustained in this moment and what we foresee as the continuing impact. If you look at something like healthcare, it's really surprising. You would think that healthcare is doing incredible right now. They're busy, all this stuff is happening. This whole challenge is centered around healthcare. But the reality is healthcare is massively impacted. They're losing revenue because everything has been focused on COVID-19. Elective procedures aren't being done. That's things like mammographies and colonoscopies. None of that is happening right now. And so, you know, my local hospital out in Viroqua has furloughed 40% of their employees. Their docs have taken a pay cut. So first and foremost for our plan, we need to look at the impact on each of the industries that are listed. And I would argue that there's other industries that we'll probably end up looking at. And then as we think about support, we need to think about both short-term, what do we need to help them get back on their feet? And then what are the long-term impacts and how are we gonna need to support those industries going into the future? It's a big task to write that plan, but I'm looking forward to working with each of the industries, getting their input, and then, you know, writing the plan together.
Well, but you've got only 2 months to do this. It's a huge task. Are you going to have to RFP this and get some outside in consultants? Are you going to work with like DOA and DWD and revenue and the UW? What's your operating plan to deliver on your June 30 deadline?
Yeah, it's a big lift, and you're right to point that out. Right now, we're gonna attack it like a project. And we're going to break it down into pieces, you know, but I need to connect with each industry. I need to connect with leaders in each industry. So I'm going to have a point person for each of those folks. You know, fortunately, here at WEDC, we have a fantastic team. So I'm going to deploy them to go out and get input from each of the industries. And then we'll start to bring that together. We might need some help with writing and putting it together. But I think that as a team, we're ready to take it on and get the input we need and then go forward. You know, we got to get scrappy and we got to do these things. We got to bootstrap these things together. There's not a lot of resources, right? The state's budget is highly impacted. So we have to be thoughtful about what we have and use it as best we can.
You, in your testimony before the Assembly Committee, you're talking about how you've been watching COVID develop as a threat. But here's my question. Of the seven industries, I'm not going to repeat them again, but some of them are huge. Ag is a $104 billion industry.
Yeah.
Which of the seven are you most worried about? Are you most worried about ag? Because you You told the assembly, I took this job to help farmers. Or are you most worried about tourism, which is a $21 billion industry?
Well, what's really interesting is if you look at each of the, you know, a vast majority of the industries that are listed there, Steve, those aren't industries that Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation usually helps and is a part of. We do a lot with manufacturing and aerospace, paper products, things like that. And so this is a almost a whole new world for us. We don't do a ton with ag, tourism. You know, we do Main Street communities and we do things like that. But to really dive into tourism, I'm going to need the help of the Department of Tourism to understand it. And I'm going to be working with the tourism bureaus around the state to understand the impact that they've gone through. Same for retail. Healthcare isn't something that we normally work in. But what we're really seeing with the COVID-19 crisis is I'm almost referring to it as the mist clearing. And we're seeing all of these other incredibly important industries and sectors in Wisconsin. And we need to lean in and make sure that we're doing what we can to help them recover from this. All the small businesses that have been impacted, that invisible fabric of businesses that we all count on. I describe it as, you know, that little white van that you're driving by on the highway all the time. And you're like, what's happening in there? Well, you know, the truth is it's a little business that's moving around. And maybe they're coming and painting in your house, or it's a plumber. You know, we got to make sure that all of those little businesses get the support, and we're recognizing the value that they bring. The same way we've been starting to recognize the value that farmers bring to our food supply. It's an opportunity to really look at the whole part of the economic system and make sure that we're paying attention to each of them.
You told the Assembly Committee, and I'm quoting you: large sections of our economy continue to run. What percentage of our economy is continuing to run?
Well, you know, what I also told the assembly is getting your arms around this data isn't so easy because this is 6 weeks old, right? So in particular, if you look at something like consumer transactions in Wisconsin, you look at that moment when the consumer is using their debit card or using their credit card, and then when the merchant is processing that transaction, we can really grab onto that. And so we're seeing about a 75% of that is running, 25% of that is off. So, you know, we can, and 75% of that is coming from the grocery stores, the gas stations, the home improvement centers, which are going like gangbusters right now, with everybody home wanting to do, you know, home improvement, you might as well at this moment. So, you know, we're seeing those parts of the economy continue to be up and running. It's the smaller retail shops, the hairstylists, the barbershops that are struggling, and of course the restaurants and the cafes.
Yes, following up on that, you referred to the role of real-time information on consumer and merchant transactions. Mm-hmm. How does your agency know that my wife and I got a carryout pizza last Monday?
You know, big data is a thing, Steve, that it is like the air that we breathe, and when you're able to determine how to access that and to work with companies who have access to that data, and they're able to give, you know, it's not what Steve and his wife bought, but overall you can look at the pizza parlors or the restaurants in a certain area in a region or on a statewide basis and understand what they're doing. But it's the role of big data. One of the things that my team members said a couple months ago, which I think is so valuable, is data is the new oil. There's so much value in that data, and I don't typically look at those. Data is hard for me to grab my arms around, but I'm pulling in folks who can help me understand it and help me make it really useful.
When you appeared at one of the governor's press conferences, you were able to cite specific drop-offs in specific industries. You said hotels were off X amount. Which of our key industries are off the most? Is it retail? Is it restaurants? Is it hotels? Is it?
Yeah. It's restaurants and cafes. It is what's called leisure. So if you think about leisure as bowling alleys, amusement parks, water parks, things like that, right? Those have really taken a hit. Movie theaters, those places that had the ability to bring gatherings of people together, where you see a lot of people together, that's where you're really seeing a hit. And the category that's called leisure, which includes those things, is probably one of the biggest drop-offs.
Let's talk about the emphasis, your priority for farmers and Main Street businesses. Now, are you saying then that our major companies like Milwaukee Tool, Walmart, Harley, Oshkosh Truck, Johnson & Johnson, they can deal with the federal government and get aid, and you want the agency to focus on, well, let me use your term, that lovely little toy store on Main Street.
You know, I think what we're seeing is our large corporations typically have some resiliency built into their situation. They've got risk management plans. They have plans that understood what was happening, you know, that this was a possibility that could happen to them. And so they've got plans that they're able to activate. They're also, by and large, we're seeing a lot of these large corporations, whether it's Oshkosh Truck or Johnson Controls, are considered essential. So they're able to keep operating.
Okay.
It's these small businesses that, you know, today in the assembly testimony I referred to, unbanked. We have cash businesses out there. We have underbanked businesses, which are banks that are businesses that just have a checking account, but they don't have a loan. They don't have a line of credit. They don't have that kind of, you know, those things that we consider what would bring resiliency to a business. They're almost a business that you can imagine is paycheck to paycheck. And revenue to revenue, you know, and so those are the businesses that, yeah, I think, you know, we need to be focusing on and seeing what we can do with.
Are the packages coming out of Washington, are they stacked to our biggest employers, our largest companies, at the expense of Main Street businesses?
You know, I think that this isn't a place where big necessarily plays. So in other words, you know, it's easy to figure out a big tax credit or a big, change to a regulation that provides relief for big corporations. But the diversity of these small businesses makes it harder to develop tools that you can use to help them with. And so, you know, one of the things I've been really trying to do is to meet with small businesses so I can really understand their challenges, really understand, like, Missy, if I have to move out 20% of my tables, you know, that's where I make my margin. So, you know, I can operate with 80% of my tables, but I'm not going to be able to feed my family because I'm not going to be able to take anything home. So just really understanding, you know, where's that line of survivability, that line of viability, where's that line of being able to reopen, are really those critical pieces.
Well, let's talk about ag. $104 billion, according to DatCap. Yet, milk is being dumped. Hogs are being euthanized instead of processed. How do you see the role of your agency in helping Wisconsin's key agriculture, which includes $82 billion in processing, to come back?
Yeah. Well, my best knowledge is in dairy. If you look at what's happened in the dairy industry, the quick shift from having kids in school, having people going to restaurants, that food service part of the industry, which I'm gonna say is about 40% of the industry, then shifting to retail. So all of these warehouses that had 40-pound blocks of cheese, or all the small packaging for school milk, all became I don't want to say useless, but, you know, not as valuable as the retail side of things, the gallon of milk that you could buy at Walmart or at Costco or at your local grocery store. So that shift isn't so easy for a huge industry like dairy to take on. And so that's where you saw the supply kind of run into the processing moment, and you needed to be able to shift how you were processing those products in order to be able to get them to market. And so that's where I think that, and it also happened to happen at a time of spring flush when we're getting the most milk out of the cows. And so, you know, just the forces of nature in the spring flush and then the forces of the market in that processing moment caused the need to dump some milk. And, you know, it doesn't make any sense in the context of, you know, food insecurity or food banks being driven the way they are. But I think we've been able to see the pivot in the last few weeks, and you see food banks being able to purchase different types of products, you know, whether it's bigger blocks of cheese or things like that. So there's been some, you know, we've just got to build the flexibility into the system. As far as, you know, the hogs go, obviously meat packing plants are really challenged right now with some outbreaks. And that's, you know, as soon as you see those meat packing plants start to have to close their doors, then you see that backup of the livestock coming into them. And so with ag especially, you see this domino effect of the changes in the system that is happening so quickly in this literal 6-week period.
What about the regional debate? The WMC plan is based on regions with criteria that you and I just heard at the Assembly Committee.
Yeah.
You heard some business leaders saying our issues are not the same as others in more urban areas. The regional approach, how much appeal? You live in Vernon County.
Yeah, and you know, as I mentioned, Vernon County so far has had one case. And I can see the appeal of wanting to open on a regional basis. I worry about the vulnerability of those communities because they haven't really had the chance to be exposed to COVID-19. I mean, I can tell you, you know, among my group of friends, everybody has been sheltering at home. We've been being safe, but the idea behind shelter at home was to buy time to set up the needed testing and contact tracing and isolation. Those are still being deployed mostly right now in the areas of need in the urban areas, but we got to move those classic epidemic fighting tools out to our regions before we can really safely say that we're ready to fight those fires out, you know, as they arise. And we're still seeing hotspots arise in those regions. Brown County is, you know, an example of a surprising, you know, really kind of spark that has now turned into a wildfire. And, you know, we don't want to accidentally light fires around the state when we don't have a fire truck to send out there. You know, we need to have those pieces in place to be able to help them. And I understand, you know, the risk mitigation, and I get it, but there's lives at stake, Steve. And, you know, there's you heard it in the testimony today. It's hard to imagine saying, you know, we're going to be okay with outbreaks in nursing homes and prisons so that we can get people back to work. It's such a balance, this balance of lives and livelihoods. And I think we can do it without increasing our risk. I think we can find the path there. And I think we're going to work on finding the path together.
I was intrigued by your testimony when you talked about payroll protection plan offers immediate aid for the next 2 or 3 months. You seem to be focusing on after that. You used the term, maybe we need a restart 72 program. So explain how you see that happening. Does it come in after the payroll protection plan, focusing on the fall, August, September, October?
I'm thinking about it in a little bit sooner terms than that, Stephen. And really, so if you think about, you know, this moment of impact in the beginning of March, when we started to see these small business really get hit, right about, I would say, mid-March, the president announced the use of SBA economic injury disaster loans. And then we saw the next thing of PPP become available. So we've seen kind of a slow rollout of these federal funds, but it is a massive amount of money. And in my mind, if you're a business receiving that, able to receive those funds, you've waited about a month for them. You've got expenses, your inventory has gone bad. You need to pay that PPP for your payroll. So that chunk of money, what you're able to access is going to become your cash that you're using right now.
Right now.
So as you start to focus on, you're not really thinking about reopening, right? You got to pay your expenses, you got to pay your bill, you got to pay your rent, your mortgage. So you're using that, and there's going to come a moment where we're able to start opening these small businesses again, and we're able to provide some support for that. And that's where I'm focused on, you know, whether it's June 1st, or June 15th, I'm not getting involved in the date right now. It's just that moment of a spark or lighter fluid that we need to get the engine really rolling.
Yeah, the term that you used with the Assembly Committee is the state role might be, quote, a little bit of push to help them getting rolling again. So here's my question. The CARES Act gives the governor, according to the Fiscal Bureau, $1.9 billion.
Yeah.
So does WEDC need some of that $1.9 billion to do a program like Restart 72?
Yeah, and we're in conversations with the governor's office and the legislature, you know, talking about these ideas that we have for helping to find solutions for businesses. I anticipate that we'll see some funds coming from that $1.9 billion that the state has received from the federal government. We're continuing to advocate with our federal offices about opportunities in the future for the next tranches of dollars to be able to use them in a particular way to help small businesses. I'm now saying, we need to be looking everywhere, under the mattress and at the state level and at the federal level.
Well, how big is your ask? I mean, do you think you need 50 million, 100 million, 200 million of that 1.9 to help, as you said, these businesses get past the payroll protection plan era?
I mean, let me put it this way. If you look at, say, $50 million and you're able to give $2,500 grants, you're going to touch 20,000 businesses. And, in our estimation, there's about 90,000 businesses that have been impacted directly and for a long time, with this. And so, the more resources that we can deploy, the quicker we can regain some momentum here. And, I think we're going to see a fair amount of support from the consumers leaning in and helping those small businesses to get rolling again. And, I think that's great. Like I said before, I think we're really recognizing the importance of small businesses in our local communities and the importance of keeping those dollars local. But where we can find the grease to help get this going, I think it will help.
Have you given the governor a specific figure? 50 million, 100 million?
I have given the governor a specific figure. Yeah. I've said,
And that figure is
100 million. If we have the ability to deploy something like that, we would use it as thoughtfully in the moment as we can, but also trying to keep an eye on what do we need to be building for the future? What entrepreneurs can we support that will come up with ideas that will solve our current problems? What communities need support? And, I mentioned today in my testimony that the network of support for businesses, the chambers, the tourism bureaus, the economic development organizations, these small little groups, nonprofits, in all of these towns that are incredibly important to businesses, are all taking a hit in their revenue too. We need to be looking at helping them, to have no fabric of support for these businesses is not going to be helpful either.
Okay. I've just got two or three questions. Thanks for your time. I want to ask you to elaborate. You told the committee, this is going to come and go. What are you warning about? COVID. This is going to come and go. What's that mean?
What I was referring to is this moment in time where we are so focused on the date. We're so focused on, how long is Safer at Home going to last? What shops can open? What stays closed? 3 months from now, we're going to have a whole new set of challenges that we need to be facing. And I personally, as big as these challenges feel, I think our challenges are going to be even bigger in the coming months as we see the overall impact on our, country's economy. And we see the changes that are happening, with orders and projects into the fall as those get pulled back. I mean, I think it's right to say we're going to see a recession. We're going to see continued unemployment. And, as leaders, I think we have a responsibility to keep one eye on the horizon. Now, I would also say that I think there's great opportunity for Wisconsin in this moment. If you think about, companies, once they get through this, they're going to look and they're going to say, maybe we don't want all of our supply coming from China. Wisconsin has an opportunity to be a safety valve, a risk mitigator for many businesses around the country. So we need to be, thinking, okay, how can we step into that space? And, what else can we be doing? We have a tremendous amount of companies that are really important in the healthcare space. What can we be doing with those companies to help healthcare get back on its feet? So, I like to think there's a lot of opportunity here. It's hard to imagine that in the current conditions, but, from challenge comes doors open, and that's what we got to look for.
Does WEDC have enough time, 2 months, to prepare this master plan to support these 7 key industries? Missy?
I think we have enough time to identify problems, and to identify challenges, maybe identify opportunities. I'm not sure that, you know, all solutions will come to light in that time. I think that we really need good heads together to be thinking about this. But I think if we can focus on the opportunities, we will find more solutions than just focusing on the problems.
Okay, then final question. You've been given a huge task. Are you afraid of failing?
Wow, that's a great question, Steve. You know, I don't live in fear. I live in looking forward and looking to see what we can accomplish. I believe that one of my strengths is bringing people together and finding ways to collaborate. That my fear is that I'm not able to do that. My fear is you know, given our current atmosphere, if we continue in a place where we can't talk with each other and we can't find solutions together, that would be a failure to me. That's what I'm afraid of, failing.
Okay, you've been gracious with your time. Missy Hughes is CEO of the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation. Thanks so much for your time. Show us your designer mask.
Oh, this is my designer mask that my daughter made.
Your daughter made. Okay. On that note, on that fashion note, thanks so much for your time.
All right. Thank you. Take care.
This program is a production of Wisconsin Eye, an independent, nonpartisan, nonprofit media network with a mission to inform, educate, and engage the citizens of Wisconsin. Wisconsin Eye is the nation's first and only independently funded state civic broadcast network, providing gavel-to-gavel access to government proceedings and events at the state capitol.